Cress, Brother and Sister, D.H., St. Helena, California, May 10, 1906. Dear Brother and Sister Cress, we have your recent letter. I need not wait for reflection before saying that I believe the best plan is that of first strengthening the work in Adelaide. The climate is more healthful, and the spiritual atmosphere much more favorable than that of Melbourne. This is the way that the matter has been presented to me, but I hoped you would decide the matter from your own judgment. I believe that after placing the whole matter before the Lord, the brethren will come to a harmonious decision. The Lord understands all our necessities. The outlook for establishing a sanitarium at Adelaide is much more favorable than the outlook for establishing one at Melbourne. The city of Melbourne is not the place to establish a sanitarium. It has been plainly presented to me that the sanitarium which you are planning to establish should be located in the most healthful place you can secure. But my warning is that of the angel that, standing in Melbourne, said in a clear, distinct voice, "Establish not schools or sanitariums in the cities. In the future, cities will certainly feel the terrible results of earthquakes and fires. Cities will be destroyed by flood and by lightnings. Out of the cities is my message at this time. Be assured that the call is for our people to locate miles away from the large cities. One look at San Francisco as it is today would speak to your intelligent minds, showing you the necessity of getting out of the cities. Do not establish institutions in the cities, but seek a rural location. The call is, come out from among them, and be ye separate." 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. The very atmosphere of the city is polluted. Let your schools be established away from the cities, where agricultural and other industries can be carried on. The Lord calls for His people to locate away from the cities, for in such an hour as ye think not, fire and brimstone will be rained from heaven upon these cities. Proportionate to their sins will be their visitation. When one city is destroyed, let not our people regard this matter as a light affair, and think that they may, if favorable opportunity offers, build themselves homes in that same destroyed city. Great precautions were taken to make everything in San Francisco secure against earthquakes, floods, and fires. Yet today, that great city is lying, a mass of debris. Where is there one who, seeing this, can fail to reason from cause to effect? A few days ago, we passed by the great, costly Stanford University. Many of its buildings now lie in ruins. Yesterday, on our way home from Mountain View, we stopped to take a view of the destruction in San Francisco. Notwithstanding some of the buildings were of the most stable kind and were supposed to be proof against disaster, the city is a ruin. In some places, the buildings are sunken into the ground. This city presents a most powerful picture of the inefficiency of human devising and human skill to withstand the carrying out of the Lord's mandate. For our people to begin commercial enterprises in such a place will be to soothe the fears of those to whom they will come with the Bible message of truth. Let all who would understand the meaning of these things read the 11th chapter of Revelation. Read every verse, and learn the things that are yet to take place in the cities. Read also the scenes portrayed in the 18th chapter of the same book. "And I heard another voice from heaven, saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues." Verse 4. It will not be to the credit of any who believe the word of the prophecies of this book to ignore the special indications of God and show indifference in regard to this wonderful display of the power of God because of the sins of this city recently destroyed. The Lord forbid that those who have witnessed this great destruction shall make light of the matter and flatter themselves that in the future they will have buildings far in advance of any buildings they have yet had. For if those who have felt the rebuke of God shall set themselves defiantly to invest their means as they have done, God will exercise His power to counteract their efforts. This calamity calls for men who have abused their privileges and taken advantage of their fellow men to make amends for the wrong they have done. The Lord has spoken. Will men hear His voice? Let not a mammoth sanitarium be built in any place. If there are large buildings miles away from the cities, that in the providence of God are offered at a price much below their value, and if you see the evidence of God's hand in this, work judiciously to obtain possession of these buildings. Let your sanitariums be conducted by physicians and ministers who are in harmony with the light God has been giving to His people for the last half century. Place not men in positions of holy office who will not listen to God's counsel concerning His way and His will. There are influences working mightily against the very work God requires to be done. The time has come when the Lord's name is to be magnified in all your camp meetings. Let the name of Jesus Christ be glorified in all these meetings. Every soul must now draw in even cords. Unbelief has taken possession of men who have been warned in regard to the seducing influence of Satan's working and the methods of his work, yet who have taken no heed. They are of the party that will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Where is this party that will depart from the faith? Consider this. Do not place in charge of your important work, or even of the less important enterprises, those who will lead minds away from the truth which is to decide the destiny of souls. Our Lord has the power that must be recognized by our people. God calls for unity in conformity to His expressed will. The flock of God should be watched, that they shall not be led into false paths. Unite with no human influence that is not in agreement with the truth of God, which has stood the test for half a century. In conclusion, I would say, let not brethren James and Simmons wait for new developments in Melbourne. Take hold at Adelaide and lay your plans wisely.